Classes, we will look at the history of conflicts at work. Number one. In particular, the general strike of 1926, the wave of strikes in the 1970s, and the conflict between Margaret Thatcher and the miners' unions. We will look at the history of the main groups of immigrants to Britain: Jewish, Irish, Caribbean, South Asian, and East European. Petite parenthèse, en Angleterre, on dit asiatique, et ça veut dire des Indiens et des Pakistanais. En France, quand on dit asiatique, on pense plutôt aux Chinois. Mais quand on voit Asian ou Asian British in England, it's Indian and Pakistani. Why not? Yeah. That's a strange thing about English. We will also examine the story of Irish, Welsh and Scottish nationalism and the changes in the last 20 years in Wales, in Scotland. They now have an autonomous parliament, for example. And finally, we will look at other social identities. What does it mean to be a woman in Britain? Well, I don't know, but I will ask somebody. What does it mean to be homosexual in Britain, the history of that? What does it mean to be young, you know, punks and ravers and metalers, and what does this mean, these social identities and conflicts? Okay, so far so good. Now, I have here this summary of the programme. Where is my list of names? Yep, okay, it's still in process. Just have a look around this, and this will help you. There's enough for everybody in here. Fuck. Excuse my English. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Rock and roll outside in the courtyard. How about that? Has everybody got one? Good. Will you be door person, please? Will you be responsible for the door? Thanks. Oui, si jamais un jour vous arrivez un peu en retard, ne vous en allez pas. Je préfère que vous frappez et que vous entrez et que vous ratez pas le cours. Je me moquerai de vous quand vous entrez. Bon, ça c'est le prix. OK, right. Ce que j'aimais bien faire quand il y avait le premier cours, mais là je l'ai raté, quelqu'un en retard, je me mets à dire en espagnol, alors la littérature médiévale, mais c'est pas gentil. C'est pas gentil, on m'a dit d'être gentil. OK, so have a look at this program here, and you'll see what we're getting, what's in the packet. First of all, you have my name. This is important. John Mullen. I'm not famous yet. I mostly teach history. I teach British history, and I also teach translation. And I do research as well. I'm writing a book on British popular music in the First World War. Yeah, that's my thing. So today, in week one, introduction to the course, definitions, stereotypes and identities, social divisions in Britain today. Next week, week two, work, identity and conflicts at work. Yes. Before 1945, and the most important elements being Taff Vale. You will know what this is later. The general strike, 1926, and the Hungry 30s. In week three, we'll be looking at identities and conflicts at work after 1945. Week four, national identities in Scotland and Wales. Wales, repeat again, bien sûr. In week five, okay, can we close the windows, please? On m'a expliqué que ce n'est pas tous les mardis, mais seulement aujourd'hui. Alors, in week six, are you okay? These are dangerous things. Don't laugh, you're supposed to sympathise. Oh, vos collègues, franchement, hein? Camarade. Okay, week six is a test. Week seven, history of immigration. Number one, Jewish and Irish immigrants. Week eight, Caribbean immigrants, Indians and Pakistanis. C'est un petit peu chronologique parce que les vagues de ces parties du monde viennent un après l'autre. Week nine, today. Immigration, racism and multiculturalism in Britain today. Je vous montrerai des affreuses affiches racistes, mais il vaut mieux être au courant. Eastern European immigrants and the idea of hybrid identities. Il y en est trop. Hybrid identities. How do people see themselves? Week 10, young people. Week 11, being a woman in Britain. And in week 12, the history of gay identities in Britain before and after legalisation, 1968 in Britain. So there you go. That's all of it. And at the bottom, you have then the teaching blog, the address of the teaching blog. You will find links for all my classes in there, but some of them will be marked block 2, and so they're specially for you, although you're welcome to look at the other ones. Okay, any questions? Is everything clear? Is everybody happy? Okay, right, that's a lot to ask, really, isn't it? So, let's begin with stereotypes of Britain, and what does everybody know about Britain? And of course, one of the things that everybody knows about Britain is it's a rather unusual place because it has a queen. This is not so unusual. Spain has a queen. Spain has a king. Yeah, Spain has a king. Holland, Belgium, Norway. So it's not so unusual. At the same time, it is a little bit bizarre because the idea of a queen is that I am the head because my blood is better than your blood. It's not a very democratic idea. Yeah, so it's a bit of a contradiction. That she has, the Queen has had some problems with the democratic idea. For example, for a long time, the Queen did not pay tax. In the pays, par exemple, pendant des siècles. And 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, the government decided the Queen must pay tax. So this is a democratic idea rising in a certain conflict, not a big conflict, but a tension with the monarch idea. And of course, as you know, the Queen does not have a lot of power. She does not. She has a lot of money, but she does not have a lot of power. She names the Prime Minister, but she always names the leader of the biggest party in Parliament. She can, if she wishes, she can refuse to sign a law. The last time this happened was in 1703. Okay, so it's not a very powerful person. Sometimes you have the impression that she's very popular, but on the other hand, this popularity is certainly on its way down. I'm very old, and I remember in 1977, the Queen was Queen for 25 years. And in every town, almost in every street, there was a party. Let's have a party because the Queen is Queen for 25 years, the Jubilee. When the Queen was Queen for 50 years, there were no parties. So I think that the popularity of the Queen is kind of She had a lot of problems because traditionally the royal family is supposed to be the perfect family. However, you have Charles and Diana who divorced, and then Diana killed herself in Paris by driving with a friend who had drunk too much. What's the other one? Sarah Ferguson divorced. And recently, a few weeks ago, there was a film of Sarah Ferguson saying, if you give me £10,000, you can meet my ex-husband. Corruption, big corruption. So the perfect royal family is having difficulties these last 20 years. Both personally, because the perfect marriage, 1981, Charles and Diana were married. The perfect couple. Not so much, yeah? Okay, but it's an important part of the image of Britain. And here we have the image of Britain again. Tradition. Yeah, tradition. Ridiculous hats. The changing of the guard. Yes, very, very... very bizarre uniforms. If you are in a war, it is a very bad idea to wear a red uniform. Yeah. I'm here. It's like you might as well have a target on you. But it's, this is the tradition. And people come to London to see it. This is also part of the stereotypes. This is stereotypes. They're sometimes a little bit true. The stereotype of Britain as, rich, well-dressed, elegant, rich young things. And here they are at Oxford University, probably. What is he drinking? Not sure what he's drinking. This is you can really see this in England, but of course it's a minority. But it's an important part of the image of the English. They are all gentlemen. Yes, this is the image. Yeah? The English are gentlemen, unlike the French, of course. Yeah, and here we have every year at Royal Ascot's, which is horse racing. The very rich people must go, and they must have a very elaborate hat. This is every year, and every year it's on the television. It's an important event. Everybody likes to look at it. Yeah, all the gossip magazines. Entre parenthèses, vous dites en français les revues People. Alors j'en profite pour souligner que le mot People ne veut pas dire ça en anglais. Alors c'est une expression purement française, revue People. Vous ne pouvez pas dire People Magazine, ça ne marche pas. OK. Oui, je vous donne des petits trucs et astuces en passant. Yes, OK, so they're obviously very happy and very rich indeed. The other rich people's event is Henley. This is the rowing. And there is a special section of it for very high-class people. And they are obliged to wear this uniform. Yes, and they're looking very happy with it, drinking champagne, and so on. So let's say that the stereotype of Britain is that there are a lot of high-class, upper-class people. Of course, it's a minority, but people see it as typical. As typical. It's typically English. Or maybe not. Eton College, beautiful old buildings. This is part of the stereotype of Britain. And of course there are beautiful old buildings. This is a private school. A very, very, very expensive private school. Private schools in Britain are very different from in France. Because in France, if you go to a private school, the government pays the teachers and the parents pay something, but they don't pay €100,000. In England, the private schools are really completely private, and if you want to go to Eton, you must pay €20,000, €50,000 a year. So it's really, really expensive. Yeah, it's not like... So, like I say, private schools in France are a little bizarre because the teachers are all paid by the government. So it's not completely private. It's kind of a mix. It's a compromise. And bizarrely enough, in Britain, we call the rich private schools, we call them public schools. I don't know why. Yeah. When you're talking about Britain, if you say public school, that means expensive private school. Okay? Alors, comment est-ce qu'on dit en anglais britannique, école publique? Yeah? Good idea, but that's American. Yeah, but good idea, yeah. State school. Donc, des écoles d'État, ouais, école étatique. State school. Yeah. So, in Britain, si vous êtes à la fac en Angleterre, vous pourriez dire aux gens, did you go to a private school or a state school? Or did you go to a public school or a state school? Private school and public school is not exactly the same. Private school is all the schools you pay for, and public schools are the top section, the most expensive ones, like Eton. You can see the beautiful buildings, yes. Did your school look like this? Yeah. Did your school, votre collège, il ressemblait effectivement à ça? Not really, no. À Créteil, pas sûr. Okay. This is the King's Palace, again, part of the stereotype of Britain, the beautiful buildings, the importance of monarchy. This is Hampton Court Palace, I recommend it. This was built for Henry VIII. Yeah, Henry VIII, the one who cut off the heads of his wives. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, Hampton Court Palace. All this is part of the image of Britain. Beautiful buildings, rich people, aristocracy, respect for tradition. Très intéressant. J'ai découvert que l'Angleterre est un pays de tradition. Quand je suis venu en France, les Français m'ont informé. Mais avant, ça ne m'était jamais venu à l'esprit. It's really an external vision. Windsor Castle, another royal castle here. I've never been to this one, but it looks nice. And of course, more stereotypes of Britain. Sherlock Holmes. The stories were written in 1880, 1890. Very popular stories. And Sherlock Holmes has become a sort of typical Englishman. And why is he typical? Say again? He's a gentleman. Absolutely, he's a gentleman. Yes. Any other ways? What else is typical about Sherlock Holmes? Yeah. Oh, his clothes. Yes, very, very carefully chosen clothes, very traditional clothes, etc. Absolutely. Anything else typical about Sherlock Holmes?
Very proud of himself.
He's a little bit arrogant, isn't he? Thank you. Really, non. Should not we? Okay. Good. Okay. We did too much in English. Okay. Yes. Yeah. He's a little bit arrogant. Absolutely. Absolutely. One more thing. He is not very emotional. Yeah. One of the stereotypes of being English is that you are not emotional, especially an English man. Now, this is I assure you, this is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay, so not very emotional, Sherlock Holmes. Now, of course, there is always a contradiction, because in the original stories, what did he smoke? Opium. Yeah. In the original stories, he smoked opium. That's not quite so gentlemanly, is it? Yes. More images of tradition. This is a film, Les Vestiges du Jour, The Remains of the Day, about a big house with a butler, a majordome, and a very rigid way of doing things. This was a bestseller. Many, many people wanted to see it, and many people said it's because it's typically English. Yeah? Ça fait 10 ans maintenant, vous ne l'avez peut-être pas vu. Est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un qui l'a vu quand même dans la vidéo? Une personne, c'est bien. Okay. It's funny. It's a little bit funny, but it's the typical image of, yes, no emotion, no emotion, respect for tradition, etc. Alors parfois on a l'impression que on pense que tous les Anglais ont des majordomes, mais c'est pas vrai. Okay. Again, very successful films. This is from Pride and Prejudice, Orgueil et Préjugé. Has anybody seen this film? Ah, oui, ça marche, celui-là. Okay, right. And you can imagine that this appears to be typically English. You have the English countryside, the clothes, the very strict rules of society, very elegant speech, very subtle emotion. It's very literary. And, of course, it's Jane Austen. It's very impressive literature. It's very, very good. But it's perhaps not as typical as we might think. We have more. Oh, this is just a... This is a typical English church. Church of England church. Ah, more typical things about England. You have the game of cricket, which is really rather strange. The game of cricket was... first of all, do you know how long does a game of cricket last? Say again? Yeah, 5 days. Yeah, 5 days. Yeah. And now what's really strange is that to play for 5 days, okay, some people watch for 5 days, but the English listen to cricket on the radio.
Yeah, on écoute le cricket à la radio pendant des jours et des jours et des jours. C'est un peu comme regarder la peinture en train de sécher. Hein.
It's not very interesting. Very typical, very, again, not energetic. Not really energetic. It's very precise and gentlemanly and so on and so forth. Yes. Very, very popular in India, in Pakistan, in Australia, in all the countries which previously were part of the empire. Rowing, again, the boat race between Oxford University and Cambridge University. Very gentlemanly sport. And, of course, the traditional images of Britain. The phone box, the double-decker bus, and Big Ben. Well, this is the rather bizarre aesthetic of London. These are all typical things. These are things we know, or sometimes think we know, about Britain. This is not just a stereotype. It's, of course, true that Britain has its own currency, pounds, and nobody in Britain wants to join the euro. Certainly a very strong feeling of independence with Europe. Si vous entendiez quelqu'un de votre âge dire oh, « Moi, je me sens plutôt européen », c'est un peu, c'est pas courant, mais c'est pas choquant. En Angleterre, mais c'est inconcevable. C'est inconcevable que quelqu'un dise ça. C'est un peu comme si vous décidiez, je ne sais pas quel serait l'équivalent, mais pensez au pays le plus petit et le plus obscur et le plus reculé imaginaire, et ça a autant d'importance que l'Europe pour les Anglais. It's just not a question, yeah. And so one of the symbols of this is the independent currency. I will talk about why later. The independent currency, but also, of course, the distance in miles. And here's the question that the English say. You see, the French say, why does Britain not use the euro? And the English say, why does France not use miles? Yes, it's and the metric system, the kilometres and kilograms and all that. The English see this. Wait, that's the French system. It's French. It's not interesting. It's French. Okay. So and here you have a couple of examples in miles, and finally, pounds weight. Now livre de poids. Very easy to understand, yeah. 16 ounces make 1 pound, 14 pounds make 100 weights, 20 hundred weights make a ton, but it's not the same ton as in France. Very, very interesting system, yeah. 16, 14, 112, and so on. Same thing with distance. 12 inches makes a foot, 3 feet makes a yard, and 1,760 yards makes a mile. Simple, easy to understand. Okay, and of course, more stereotypes, the English bobby. It is a stereotype, but it's also an important difference. What is significant about the English bobby? About the English policeman? What do you never see in London? Yeah, a gun. They never have guns. Yeah, they they don't have guns. Yeah, you never see a policeman with a gun. Sauf quand c'est avéré qu'il y a un assassin armé dans cette rue-là. Ils ont des policiers spéciaux qui s'appellent. Yeah? But the police are not armed. Yeah, and that's a very important difference. Important. It's a symbol, but it's also an important difference. Yeah, an important difference. Yeah, and it's very difficult for English people when they come to Paris. There's all these guns. At first, it's very scary. It's very scary. More stereotypes of England. Football supporters. Even today, there are a very large number of people who go to see football every week in Britain. Much more than in France. In London, there are 15 or 20 professional teams. Not one, 15 or 20. It's extremely important. And especially in the north, Liverpool, Manchester, Newcastle, and places like that. More stereotypes and symbols, the English pub. More comfortable than the French bar, usually. The English pub has changed a lot in the last 20 years. In particular, 20 years ago, the food in the English pubs was really not very good. And that has really changed a lot in the last 20 years. Now, it's always difficult to eat food in another country because it's very different. But certainly, it's very common for young people to go to London and say, oh, the food is not so bad. Ça ne m'étonnerait pas que beaucoup d'entre vous auraient des commentaires des gens de l'âge de vos parents. Ah ouais, non, mais c'est immangeable. Et que vous vendez sur place, et finalement, il y a des choses qui sont bien, il y a des choses qui ne sont pas bien. Mais que, bien sûr, la réputation, ça dure 30 ans après les changements. Hein. C'est, la réputation, c'est dur. OK, so that's my defense of English pubs and food. Of course, jelly. Yes? It's a stereotype. People do not eat jelly every day. Like in England, people think that you eat snails every day. Yeah? And frog's legs. Qui a mangé depuis un mois des cuisses de grenouille? Des escargots? Depuis un an, des escargots? Ah, quand même. Parfois à Noël, c'est ça. Mais ce n'est pas non plus un truc comme ça. The jelly is not so common. But it's obligatory. J'en ai parlé avec ma sœur qui ne voyage pas beaucoup, qui est en Angleterre. Et on lui a expliqué que ça n'existait pas en France. Et elle a dit, mais... Qu'est-ce qu'ils mangent donc lors des anniversaires à la place? Okay, yes, it really, it seemed to her to be obligatory. Okay, je vais fermer celui-là aussi. C'est très joli, hein, mais bon, il faut que je bosse. Ça se fait de la concurrence quand même, je ne sais pas chanter. Okay. And of course, more food, fish and chips. Yeah. Now, personally, I don't like fish and chips, but it's very popular. It's very popular in Britain. Voilà. Ça, c'est ça. Okay, so why look at all that? Well, really, it was just to look at some of the famous things about Britain and some of our stereotypes, some of the differences about Britain. But certainly in France, Britain is quite an important country in certain domains. Is there anybody here who reads the magazine Hockey Folk? Vous connaissez cette revue Hockey Folk? Bon, c'est une des revues principales de la musique populaire en France. And every week there is one page for England. Every week there is a page for England and a page for America. There is no page for Italy, Spain, Germany, etc. Yeah? England in music is more important. It's a small country. England is a small country. It is not a very important country. But in music, in cinema, it has a certain importance. And of course, the language is very important, and this is why you are here. Yeah. Huh?
Si les Anglais avaient perdu en 1770 contre les Français au Canada, ce seraient les Anglais qui apprendraient le français.
Okay. Let's move on to a second thing. This time I want to look at some things which are not so famous, which people don't know so much about, or some rather surprising or different elements of England and Britain which go against the stereotype. So here you have, what is this? Yeah, I think it's a restaurant. It's a restaurant, a cheap restaurant. It's a cheap restaurant, cafe and restaurant together. And what kind of food do you get? Yeah, Cameroonian. African food, okay, right. Okay, so there you go. Mbagang, a taste of Cameroon. It's in London. Is there anything that you can see which is not so African? Yeah? Cappuccino. Yeah, it's not very African, is it? Espresso. Yeah? And panini, yes. Paninis. Huh? Paninis, donc c'est de l'italien anglifié. Parce qu'en italien, il n'y a pas de S. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So this is just this is in London. I took this photograph. It's just a little symbol of the fact that today the mix is enormous. You know, it's a tremendous mix. Yeah. I know that the French are very proud of French food. Okay? How many people, let's take Sunday, dimanche dernier, qui a mangé un plat français? Yeah, okay, some people. Yes, some people, okay. Yeah. Chinese? Italian? Yeah, it's not so, it, you know, it's a big mix. And it's the same in Britain. The most popular food in Britain today is chicken tikka masala. It's an Indian curry. The most popular. It's more popular than fish and chips. So the modern England is very, very mixed. And we will be looking at this. What does it mean? Because it's impossible to be totally mixed. And it causes, of course, identities and conflicts. Yeah, identities and conflicts, yes. This is London. This is the Chinese part of London. The Chinese Quarter, as you can see. And you can see that the signs are in Chinese. Et pas toujours traduit en anglais aussi. Hein? Seulement en chinois pour certains. In a Chinatown. Yeah. How many people here have been to London? Yeah? Yeah. Did you see Chinatown, anybody? Yeah, you did? Okay, yeah. It's not so famous, but yeah. It's more famous in New York. Chinatown in New York is more famous. There's Chinatown. With these traditional parts, okay. Chinatown at night. Here is the supermarkets with, yeah, Chinese food. The supermarket and so on. Not quite so famous. Here you have a fish and chip shop, but today the fish and chip shop also sells kebabs, which of course is Turkish, Greek, North African, Mediterranean. It's not English, but yeah, the kebab, fish, chicken, kebabs to take away. Woodbury Fish Bar. Okay. You have a picture of a kebab, just in case you didn't know what it was. This is also in London. Oh, what is it? Good idea. No. See? Yes, yes. It's not a mosque.
Synagogue.
It's not a synagogue.
It's a temple.
Yes, it's a temple. Yes, from which religion?
Indian.
Yeah. Yeah. Again? Buddhist? No, not Buddhist, no. Sikh. Sikh.
Donc, bien sûr, oui, ça vient d'Inde, mais Inde, c'est le pays. Sikh.
Sikh. Yeah. Qui veut expliquer en détail la religion sikh? D'accord, c'est pour la bande. Moi non plus.
You can often recognize Sikh men because they have a turban. Yeah, and in particular, the men do not cut their hair. Yeah, so it's very, very long, and it's up here. The hair is there, with the turban is to hold the hair. Yeah, the men don't cut their hair up. Now, that's not the most important thing about Sikhs. It's just the most visible thing about Sikhs. One of the interesting things about the Sikh religion is it was the first religion to say men and women are equal. In fact, the reason for the founding of the Sikh religion was a demand for equality. Well, this is kind of interesting. There are a lot of Sikhs in Britain, and this is the biggest Sikh temple in Europe. It was built in 2003, and it cost nearly £20 million. That's important, because if it costs nearly £20 million, that means there are a lot of people giving money. Yeah, so it's a strong community. They can find £20 million, and they are going to set up this year. They are going to set up a Sikh school. A Sikh school. We will look at the question of schooling in Britain another time. Okay, so just something which is not so well known. This also is not so well known. What country are we in, first of all? Good idea. No, it's a trick question. In question piège, it's England. This is England. En fait, quand vous voyez les petites cloches, ça n'existe pas dans les pays celtes.
This is an English tradition. This is an English tradition. It is, of course, traditional dancing, traditional dancing, folk dancing from England.
You need a stick.
Why not?
And bells. And
what's interesting about that, this is called Morris dancing. Morris dancing.
Ce qui est intéressant, parce qu'en fait, l'origine du mot, ça veut dire c'est les morts, les Arabes. Quoi. Ça s'appelle la danse arabe. Mais depuis 800 ans, ça existe en Angleterre.
Like many traditions, this tradition was reinvented in the 20th century. Morris dancing in Britain, 16th century, 17th century, 18th century. 19th century, it's almost dead. The beginning of the 20th century, revival. This is very typical for folk tradition. To be reinvented in the 20th century, that's not surprising. Very popular in the 1960s and the 1970s. Many people think it is ridiculous. Okay, it's if you like Morris dancing and you do Morris dancing, your friends will make jokes about you. It's not an easy thing to do. I've never done it. Yeah, I make jokes about it. But yeah, c'est cruel, mais c'est comme ça. Ma cousine en fait. Vous allez savoir des choses sur ma famille. Je vais avoir honte à la fin. Okay. Et ça c'est un petit dessin humoristique au sujet de Morris dancing. Et les deux vieux dans le pub sont en train de boire la bière et ils voient le Morris dancing. Finalement, le multiculturalisme, c'est pas mal. Hein? Parce que, en voulant dire, si on reste aux traditions anglaises, c'est ridicule. C'est the idea. And one more. One more. Another joke. Do you understand the joke? It's not easy. Do you understand the joke? What does that mean, customs? C'est la douane, mais c'est un autre sens aussi. les traditions ou les coutumes. Alors c'est Marc et Douane, mais lui, il pense que c'est là où on pose des questions sur des traditions ou des coutumes. Alors il dit, quelle est l'origine de Maurice Dancing? Ok, bon, il a fait un effort quand même. Il faudrait essayer de trouver ça rigolo. Bon, bref. Ok. Yeah, just more unusual traditions of England. These are the pearly kings and queens. The pearly kings and queens. What are these? Say again. Could be. It's all plastic. It is a tradition from working class London to dress like a king, but everything is very cheap. Everything is plastic. It's not pearls at all. And je ne sais pas quel serait l'équivalent en France, sans doute il n'y en a pas, mais un peu la reine du carnaval, c'est quelque chose dans le genre. Hein. On élit chaque année, dans certains quartiers de London, a pearly king and a pearly queen, and they are elected usually because they can, because of their personality. Oui, c'est pas un concours de beauté. Okay, yeah, because of their personality and their clothes, and they represent just a little bit like la reine du carnaval, c'est une tradition qui existe encore, je l'ai dit, dans le sud-ouest de la France. Okay, so this is the pearly kings and queens of London. It's a London tradition. And it's a relatively new tradition because it was invented 60 or 70 years ago in the 1930s. Okay, so just some traditions you don't know about. Ça devient difficile, hein? Just some more elements of Britain which are not so well known. This is a sculpture. It's a sculpture, and it's called the Angel of the North, L'Ange du Nord. And it's in Newcastle. Yes. Okay. It's a symbol of regional identity. It was very important for people of the north to have an impressive monument of the north. Of course, most of the famous monuments are in London. Big Ben, the London Eye, the Tower of London. And this is a little symbol of a monument for the north, the Angel of the North. Now, you can like it or not like it. That's not a problem. It also symbolizes something else, and that is that modern art has become more and more popular in France and in Britain. Yeah? You know the glass pyramid in front of the Louvre, in Paris. It was very controversial when it was built, but today it's fairly well accepted. And certainly in Britain, the modern art is becoming more acceptable in public places. Now, football again. They have a big banner in front, don't they? What does it say? Traduction, quelqu'un? La première partie, ça ne pose pas de problème. Nous ne sommes pas des Anglais. Nous sommes des gens de Liverpool. Scouse is people from Liverpool. Est-ce qu'on pourrait voir un match de... Est-ce qu'on peut imaginer un match de foot à Marseille? Un banderole, nous ne sommes pas des Français, nous sommes des Marseillais. C'est pas impossible à imaginer, il me semble, parce que Marseille, il y a une certaine identité régionale. Liverpool as well. Liverpool, very, very strong. Very, very strong regional identity. It's very important to people. je suis en France depuis 86 et après 10 ans en France, je me suis rendu compte que quand les gens me demandaient « Vous venez d'où ?», je répondais « Je viens du nord de l'Angleterre ». Et automatiquement, sans y penser, ça ne me venait jamais à l'esprit de dire « Je suis anglais » ou « Je viens de l'Angleterre », mais « Je viens du nord de l'Angleterre ». Comme quoi, ça doit être important. Ok, so we're not English, we're Scouts. English humour, of course. This is very famous English humour. Four weddings and a funeral. Ça, je crois que tout le monde l'a vu dans sur la planète entière, de toute façon. Interesting film. Remember, of course, he is typically English and she is typically American. Very, very important, the English-American side to this. A lot of films made in Britain have an American hero or an American heroine because they want to sell the film in America. And if you want to sell the film in America, if you can have some story about the relationship between Britons and Americans, that's good. It's a marketing question. And of course, the Full Monty, another very English comedy, surprising comedy. Qui l'a déjà vu? Okay, un quart, okay. Je recommence, c'est rigolo. It's a story about unemployed men in the north of England who have no money and they decide to make money by doing a striptease. But they are not the traditional kind of men to do a striptease. And it's very funny. And they are. It has a happy ending. Yeah. At the end, they are successful in making money because all their friends come and all their friends' friends and so on. Interesting story. The other interesting thing about it is it was very, very cheap. I know one of the people who was involved in making this film and they thought, oh, if we sell 20,000, that's good. And they sold 200 million. D'ailleurs, les comédiens étaient assez tristes après parce qu'ils l'ont fait contre salaire. Ils n'avaient pas un pourcentage. Et ça a été devenu un best-seller et ils ont gagné, je ne sais pas, 4 000 euros, 10 000 euros, rien. C'est terrible. Anyway, cinema, yeah, just one thing about the cinema is that British cinema, for a small country, is relatively successful. Yeah? Yeah. Can you think of some British films? Okay. Can you think of some Italian films? Some Dutch films? Yeah? It is relatively successful. Another one, this is England. I recommend it's about skinheads. Skinheads in England. Train Spotting. It's a comedy about drugs. A comedy about heroin. That's different. Of course, Billy Elliot. It's a fairy story. Un conte de fées. Hein? Parce qu'à la fin, il devient un star. Souvent, c'est pas le cas. Bridget Jones' Diary. Again, very English. And this is a film. Hello. This is a film by Stephen Frears about being an immigrant in London today. Well, it's Notting Hill. Again. An English man and an American woman. That's typical. Okay. Last thing about, before I move on to the third section. Music. This is last year's Brixton Jam. Again, a big mix. This is just before the Notting Hill Carnival. The Notting Hill Carnival is a very famous Caribbean West Indian carnival in London. This just to give you an idea of what kind of music. Of course, England is famous for punk rock. There's a couple of examples of the punk rock groups. Look at the names they use, yeah? Funhouse Strippers, c'est les stripteaseurs de Funhouse et de la fête foraine. Les stripteaseurs de la fête foraine. Live Fast to Die. Yeah. Vive à toute vitesse et mourrez. En général, ça continue mourir jeune. Yeah. Kidnappers, yeah, les kidnappeurs. Yeah. Okay, so these names of. Ah, c'est bien quand ça s'arrête. Hein. These names of groups, punk rock. And we will be looking later on at what does punk rock mean in Britain. Another kind of music in London, very new for the general market. Bollywood, this is a Bollywood ball. Bollywood, of course, is the name of the Indian cinema, the capital of Indian cinema. C'est une blague, hein? Hollywood en Amérique. Et alors, Bombay, ils ont inventé Bollywood. Because the Indian cinema produces thousands of films every year. It's a very, very big market. And for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you could only buy Bollywood films in Indian languages. But in the last 10 years, you have them translated into English, and they can be quite popular. So here at the University of Bradford, yeah, they have a whole series of music from Bollywood. And in particular, if you look at the first one, Bhangra. Yeah, Bhangra is a mix of traditional Indian singing and rock and roll and electro and rap and R&B mixed together. Very interesting new phenomenon, 15 years old, 10 years old, Bhangra, very popular among all young people in Britain today. Completely different elements, the question of the British and politics. Now, as you know, in Paris, si on est à Paris, quelqu'un dit oui, il y avait 300 000 personnes pour une manifestation. Vous dites ah oui, bon, ça fait effectivement plusieurs mois. And in England, this is not the case. It's very difficult to have a demonstration of 50,000. Very difficult. There is not the same tradition. And the exception, this is the exception, in 2003 against the war in Iraq, there were 1 million people. But like I say, comme je voulais souligner, en France, quand il y a 1 million dans la rue, c'est quand même un peu exceptionnel, mais ça fait 5 ans, ça fait pas 50 ans. And in England, it was 50 years or 100 years since they had such a big demonstration. So here you have the demonstration against the war in Iraq. Socialist Worker is the most popular radical left group in Britain. C'est un peu l'équivalent de Besançonneau, hein? C'est-à-dire que tout le monde sait à peu près qui c'est, ou sinon vous regarderez sur Wikipédia Besançonneau. Socialist Worker, yeah, against George Bush. Two things which are different about English demonstrations. First of all, so a lot of people carry a placard. Of course, in demonstrations in Paris, you have placards, but not like this, not so many, not so many. This is a tradition. And this is Hyde Park, the big park in the middle of London. Okay? This is from Respect. Respect was a left-wing party, mostly made up around the Muslim community. Something particular about Britain is there is more visible Muslim intervention into politics. So the British Muslim Initiative is in there. This is about Gaza, of course. And finally, this is a trade union and syndicat. This one is the trade union of the rail, maritime and transport workers, they should be known. And this is just an excuse to explain that in Britain, the trade unions are much bigger than in France. Much bigger. Now, maybe not so radical, that's possible, but much bigger. Je crois qu'il y a 6 millions de syndiqués en Angleterre aujourd'hui. In 1979, so 30 years ago, there were 12 million. Was in France, I think it's around 3 million, around approximately 2.5, 3 million. So the trade unions are much bigger. Just move a little bit onto British art. This is a sculpture by Henry Moore. Henry Moore was the son of a miner from Yorkshire, and he became a very famous sculptor. And this is a very typical bronze sculpture by Henry Moore. In many towns in Britain and in Germany, I don't know why, you will find a Henry Moore sculpture in a park or in front of the library. Probably the most famous English sculptor of the 20th century. Lucian Freud, another modern artist from England, his grandfather was, who was his grandfather? Sigmund Freud, and so he became a painter, an artist, and here you have a portrait of the Queen. What do you think? Do you think she was happy with the portrait? I don't know, but the press was very angry. It's an insult to the Queen, they said in the Daily Mail and the Daily Express. Well, the interesting thing was, it was not a clandestine portrait. The Queen asked Mr. Freud, please come and paint a picture of me. And she sat for 12 hours, and this was the result. I don't know if she was happy or not. But it's interesting. It's an interesting portrait. Donc on est bien loin de des portraits que pour flatter. C'est pas un portrait pour flatter. On peut aimer ou ne pas aimer, mais c'est pas pour flatter. On a l'air de en baver. Okay, Lucian Freud. There are a series of young artists in the last 20, 30 years in Britain, perhaps not so famous, and some of them are rather controversial. This is a piece of work by Tracy Emin, a British artist. We often talk about Tracy Emin and her friends, and we talk about the young British artists. And this is one of them, Tracy Emin, and this work is called My Bed. The title is My Bed, and if you look carefully, you can see that her bed is not very tidy, and there are different objects which you might use in the bed, okay? Je vous laisse imaginer quels sont les objets qu'on peut utiliser dans un lit qui se trouve dans la sculpture. The other famous sculptor from the young British artist, Damien Hirst. Yes,
It costs 100 million. So, it's interesting. Là, par contre, c'est assez facile de voir un sens. La mort, l'argent, on va partir avec. Réflexion sur l'argent et la mort. Hein. Il n'a pas trouvé quelqu'un assez vite pour l'acheter. But, yeah, so this is David Hirst, controversial one of the odds. You can like it or you cannot like it, but c'était osé quand même, parce que ça lui a pris plusieurs années pour trouver l'argent. C'est pas son argent. Yeah, that's it. The young British artists, okay? Voilà. Je vais demander une prime pour mes cours d'aujourd'hui parce que faire concurrence, c'est pas évident. N'empêche, je vais continuer. Je vais sans doute, parce que la concurrence me fatigue, je vais sans doute arrêter un quart d'heure avant la fin parce que c'est trop. Okay, so far I've looked at, so today was general subjects, and then next week it will become much more specific. So I've looked at, firstly, I looked at stereotypes and things which everybody knows about Britain. Secondly, I looked at some things which are not so famous about Britain, about British civilization, about British culture. And in the last part today, c'est super quand il fait pas de bruit. I want to look at the population of Britain today. What kind of society it is. What are the most important social divisions? So first of all, I want to talk a little bit about work and what is the typical work of the British. And I'm going to put some numbers up here. Oui, d'ailleurs, on va faire une petite pause là-dessus. Ah oui. Pour sa voix éteinte. Des étudiants ici du département de LEA. Ah, c'est bien, je peux vous dire donc la même chose que je vais le dire la semaine prochaine. Pas de problème. Ok. Some questions about where do people work? And down here I'm going to put percentages. What is the percentage of British people who work in agriculture? What is the percentage of British people who work in manufacturing? Yeah, making things, chairs, computers, bags. Students, no, not students. Okay, building. What is the percentage of British people who work in building? In building. Finance, including banks, insurance, etc. Money, counting money. What is the percentage?
public services, education, health, cleaning the streets, museums, libraries, and sales and catering, sales shops, and catering, restaurants, hotels, cafes, etc. Okay, so the percentages. What do you think? Agriculture. What percentage? Say again. 20? 2? 30? 2? 2? Okay. Let me help you. In France, it is 4%. In France, it is 4%. And in Britain, it is 0.9%. Okay? Pas grave, c'est pas un test. D'ailleurs, je ne devrais pas faire ça parce que c'est en anglais. Okay.
Terrible, terrible mistake.
Okay, yeah. So this is important. It is agriculture is not a big sector in Britain. Maintenant, vous êtes des Parisiens, alors c'est plus rare. Mais quand j'ai travaillé l'année dernière près de Bordeaux, à Agen, je demandais à mes étudiants, est-ce que vos grands-parents étaient paysans? C'était la moitié de la classe. Alors je vous pose la question quand même, vous êtes parisien. Qui a des grands-parents qui étaient des paysans? Ou qui sont des paysans? Quelques-uns, ça existe. En Angleterre, ce serait zéro. Et ça aurait été zéro en 1950 et zéro en 1920. The small farmers in Britain disappeared in 1850. It's a massive difference. Whereas in France, the number of small farmers, yeah? 1800, 1900, 1920, 1930, 1940. It's still continuing. It's going down, of course. It's very difficult to be a small farmer. But in Britain, the story was finished in 1850. Yeah, agriculture is not a big deal in Britain. Let's go for manufacturing, making things. Vous hésitez maintenant, hein? D'ailleurs, je n'ai pas les chiffres pour la France, alors. Oui, je ne vais pas vous demander pour chaque, parce que c'est surtout que vous n'avez aucune manière de savoir. So, 11% manufacturing. That's important, because in the 1940s, and the 1950s, a lot of factories making cars, chemicals, trains, ships, and this has gone down a lot. Yeah, 11%. 11%. C'est quand même, il y a quand même du monde dans l'histoire, mais c'est 1 sur 10. Okay. Banks and finance. 21%. It's massive. Banks and finance, insurance. It's enormous. This includes the City of London. London is still today an important financial centre. More important than Paris for finance. If you're very rich, your money must be in London. Okay? But if you're very rich, you wouldn't be in Crete University. Okay. Okay, finance, 21%. Ce qui est un peu étrange, ils ont réussi à garder Londres comme un centre financier majeur sans adopter l'euro. C'est un peu bizarre quand même, quelque part, hein, parce que ça leur coûte de l'argent. L'entreprise sud-coréenne qui veut un QG à Londres, qui veut un QG en Europe, ça les intéresse beaucoup plus Paris, parce que c'est la même monnaie que partout. À Londres, ils doivent tout traduire. Mais bon, ça marche quand même, je ne sais pas pourquoi. Public services, then, 27%. And sales and catering, 24%. Okay, just to give you an idea of the importance here. People live in towns. Remember also that England, not Britain, England is very small. England is very small. You take England and you can put it 4 times into France. So the little village, il doit en rester un petit village en Angleterre, mais je n'ai pas vu récemment. Hein. It's really very much towns, yeah? The little village where you're out in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't really exist. Okay, so, what is particular about working in Britain? Well, first of all, the British have the longest working week in Europe. C'est la semaine de travail le plus longue d'Europe. On average, 44 hours. 44 hours. En France, en moyenne, c'est 37. C'est 44. Yeah, people work a lot of hours in Britain. And one of the things you notice when you go to Britain is there are a lot of shops open 24 hours. Les supermarchés ouverts toute la nuit, c'est courant. Même dans les petites villes. And in France, of course, this is not the case here. Right. Second important thing, the minimum wage. Salaire minimum. En France, aujourd'hui, c'est 8,82 euros. Et en Angleterre, 6,59. Vous what it is. That's right, yeah, the minimum wage. Yeah, the minimum wage. Say again? How do I spell it? Minimum?
Wage.
I spell it W-A-G-E. How do you spell it? Is it? Okay, yeah, wage, minimum wage. Now, 10 years ago in Britain, there was no minimum wage. Yeah, it was completely optional. 10 years ago, for the first time in British history, we had the minimum wage. In France, it exists since 1968, or even before. For a long time, the minimum wage in France. But in England, it's a new idea, the minimum wage. Yeah, in 1999. So it's very shocking. Okay, so let's look at a few more pictures. And what I wanted to look at is houses and what kind of places people live. The typical British houses, because of course, houses in every country, they show you how people live, but they also show you something about identity. Something about what people, how people want to be. Please.
Je crois qu'il se met en route là. Oui.
Okay. This is just a street. But this is something very typical of Britain, a back street. There is a street in front of the house and a street behind it, yes, in the little ways. This is a recent one. You can tell it's a modern picture because of the plastic bins. When I was young, they were metal. You had to carry them, very, very difficult to carry, with no wheels. So this is a back street. You can see that they are terraced houses all together, one in a row, all identical. And finally, you can see the importance of satellite television and the satellite, especially for Indian and Pakistani people who want to see on the television from home. Yeah, very important. The towers, 1950s, high-rise housing. There are not as many high-rise housing. There's not as much high-rise housing in England as in France. Il y a un nettement plus de tours en France. Et notamment en France, on peut avoir une tour qui pourrit ou on peut avoir une tour qui est en tout le monde. Là où les gens sont pas spécialement pauvres. Tandis qu'en Angleterre, les tours sont complètement. Yes, because the English like to have a little garden. Very important. And the last thing here, council estates. Littéralement, notamment une cité municipale. On dirait en français, cité HLM. Because in England, it was the local government who organized, it is the local government who organizes social housing. En français, les agences HLM, je ne sais pas trop comment. But in England, it is municipal housing. Council housing. So that's a council of estates and city HLM on the
built in the 1950s. This is more for, I don't know, secretaries, teachers, factory workers. Moi j'habitais dans un truc comme ça quand j'étais gamin, mon père il était ouvrier du gaz. C'était petit. Donc pas les plus pauvres, mais bon, les ouvriers. And very typically English, look at the bay windows. The bay windows. The English, they love the bay windows. Yes. And of course, the hedge. La haie. Every Sunday. Must cut it every Sunday. Yes. Traditional methods, yes. But also notice, it's a town, it's very expensive, and today houses in London are even more expensive than houses in Paris.
It's incredible.
Okay. And you can see they have a very small front garden, very small, almost useless. But the English, they love to have a little garden. Very, very little. You can see how much space they have in the garden. It's not very good. Assez pour se bronzer, quoi. Si faisait du soleil, on pourrait se bronzer. You can see it doesn't very often. This is a little better. If you have a little more money, you get a promotion. You move into this. This is what we call semi-detached housing. Donc, mot à mot, ce sont des logements semi-détachés. Vous voyez que c'est vrai, ils sont par bloc de deux, puis un espace. Donc, deux, un espace. So, you have room, perhaps, for a garage, or something like that. And in the back garden, quite a real garden in the back, quite a lot of space, yes. Greenhouse. Sans serre, on peut rien cultiver. De toute façon, ça fait 40 ans. Okay. Je ne sais pas si vous le reconnaissez, mais dans le temps, c'était des maisons plus modestes. Ils ont tous eu une cuisine de rajouter plus tard. That's been added later. Originally, they were small houses, and they have added, this is a kitchen, which has been added. Bien sûr, ils avaient une cuisine avant, mais tout petit dans un coin cuisine, et là, ils ont une cuisine. Very typical. It's very, very typical. There are millions of houses like this, millions. Millions and millions, yeah. My sister lives in a house like this one. Yeah. Both my sisters. And this is if you have a bit of money. Detached housing. Yeah. Avec un vrai jardin. But you never have, because England is very small and full, relatively, you don't have what you have in France. If you go to a village, you can have a house with a really big, big garden. And you need money, but you don't need to be a millionaire. Yeah? It's not necessary to be a millionaire. Whereas in Britain, you don't see that, really. You need to be, if you want a really big garden, you need to be a millionaire, you know. Difficult to organise, yeah? Okay, especially if you start here. Detached housing. Okay. So that was for the housing side of it. Just wanted you to go over then a little bit the geography, very briefly. Here you have the whole thing. Perhaps you remember England.
Yeah.
England. Wales, thank you. England, Wales, Scotland, thank you. Yeah, England, Wales, Scotland, and perhaps you remember, oh, sorry, Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, and remember the general term, Great Britain, c'est toute cette île. The United Kingdom is Great Britain and Northern Ireland, yeah? United Kingdom is a political term. Great Britain is geography, it's an island.
C'est vrai qu'en anglais, on dit souvent Britain quand on devrait en principe dire Royaume-Uni,
United Kingdom.
Par contre, il ne faut pas faire ce que font les Français. En français, on dit facilement l'Angleterre pour dire tout ça. Vous dites Angleterre à l'Écossais. Hein?
Ah, ça vous plaît, ça me plaît Angleterre. Vous dites ça à Glasgow. C'est dangereux.
Yeah, it's very different. In English, this is England and this is Britain. Okay.
So you can be a little bit approximate between Britain and the United Kingdom, but England is England. Par exemple, on dit facilement en français le Premier ministre anglais. Si vous dites the English Prime Minister, les gens ils vont vraiment vous demander de qui vous parlez.
The British Prime Minister, it's really obligatory. Okay, so there we have it. And the biggest towns, of course, the biggest towns, Newcastle, Manchester, Liverpool.
Pour des raisons que je ne comprends pas, Birmingham a disparu. C'était Birmingham, London.
OK. That's the most important ones. Je ne sais pas pourquoi j'ai mis ça, en fait. Joli.
Oh, yeah. This is a question of immigrants. This is the percentage of people who were born in Britain in each group. Now, in England, unlike in France, when you have a census,
quand vous faites le recensement,
vous cochez. Est-ce que vous êtes white British, white Irish?
On demande à chacun du pays entier à cocher. Hein?
It's not so easy sometimes.
It's not so easy. No?
But this is the results. Donc il faut lire. Il faut lire. 27% des gens qui disaient qu'ils étaient chinois sont nés en Angleterre, de ceux qu'ils ont interviewés. Voilà, c'est comme ça qu'il faut dire. Donc, parmi ceux qui s'identifiaient comme africains noirs, 30%, 35% étaient nés en Angleterre. C'est comme ça qu'il faut le dire.
So this gives you an impression, yes? Look at the Irish, white Irish. Around 30-something percent of them were born in Britain.
It's an interesting thing, yes? These are people... I am born in Britain, not me, but somebody. I am born in Britain. My parents were Irish, but I do not think I am not British. I am Irish. I was born in Britain, but I feel it's an identity. I feel Irish. So that's interesting. Certainly a very strong one. Other whites, Italian, Polish, etc. Mixed. That's everybody else. Indian. Look at Indian. If you take all the people who said, I am Indian, 45% were born in Britain. Okay, so that's a lot of people born in Britain who still identify as Indian. Yeah, yeah. Pakistani even more, Black Caribbean, Antillais, Black African, other black. Now this is interesting, so là on a Noir Antillais, Noir Africain, autre Noir. Et il faut préciser qu'on utilise le mot noir en Angleterre beaucoup plus largement qu'en France. Noir, c'est pas blanc. Pas besoin d'être. C'est essentiellement ça. Hein. Alors, ça peut être compliqué quand on est, métis et on change de pays. Parfois, on est blanc dans un pays et on devient noir dans un autre. Ça peut être très, très bizarre. J'ai une amie qui a des enfants qui sont à moitié japonais. Et à Londres, ils étaient blancs. Ils sont allés vivre au sud des États-Unis, ils étaient noirs. Ça leur a fait un choc.
C'est horrible.
But this is literally true, yeah? It's a question of identification. Okay, so here are the people. So, of course, a lot of people born in Britain from different groups, and we will be looking at this in more detail. Voilà. Okay. Alors, je vais utiliser... l'excuse donc de la fatigue parce que ils font beaucoup de bruit et je vais arrêter maintenant pour aujourd'hui. Et je vous retrouverai la semaine prochaine. N'oubliez pas de vous inscrire sur la plateforme ressources en ligne du site de l'université. Voilà. Et les gens qui sont arrivés en retard, j'ai une petite feuille pour vous. Et quelqu'un a une liste de noms qui m'appartient. C'est qui l'a ? Qui a mangé la feuille de noms, des noms ? Si vous n'avez pas encore mis votre nom, allez-y. Merci et à la semaine prochaine. Allez, écoutez la musique. Ça, c'est un peu trop. Yeah, I don't know.